You are listening to G220 Radio Network, where you can hear G220 Radio, hosted by Ricky Gantz, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, discussing a wide variety of topics from a Christian worldview with many great guests. On Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in to listen to Christ the Rock Church sermons by Pastor Austin Hetzler. Join us monthly to listen to Tongue Waggers, Linguistics from a Christian Worldview, hosted by George Alvarado and Mike Miller. You can also listen to our newest edition, Creation Revival Radio, the first Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by Dr. Anthony Silvestro, the founder of Creation Revival Ministry. To stay up to date on all the latest news and shows on the G220 Radio Network, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can listen live to our programs on Blog Talk Radio, or if you're unable to tune into the live broadcast, you can subscribe on iTunes to listen to the podcast.
You're listening to G220 Radio, an internet radio show that airs Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. G220 Radio is a show that covers many topics from a biblical worldview, like politics, raising your family, to topical questions from the Bible. Be sure to tune in on Tuesday nights at blogtalkradio.com/G220Radio. Thank you.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Coming up this weekend, September 16th through 18th, is the Elyria Apple Festival, located in downtown Elyria. G220 Ministries and Christ the Rock Church will be there to evangelize, to pass out tracts, and also to open-air preach. If you are in the area and would like to come out and join us, the times for each day are as follows. Friday from noon to 9 o'clock p.m., Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. If you would like to join us on any of those days, you can contact us by emailing rickygantz@g220ministries.com or go to G220 Ministries Facebook page and message us. Thank you.
And welcome to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, along with George Alvarado and probably Juan Nieto, hopefully a little bit later, joining us on the program. But, George, how you doing, brother?
What's up, man? How are things in life today?
Things are good. I don't know where you're going, but things are good.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just checking. I figured I put myself out there on Facebook for people's laughter. So tonight, man, we got a...
we could
I thought
talk
that's where
about
you
that.
Were going.
Now that I know what you're talking about. No. We could talk about that.
Yeah, no. We've got a really good show, I think, for you tonight. We are going to be talking about angry street preachers, something I know I've come across. George, you've probably come across some of them either out on the streets or through social media. I'm not so sure if Juan has really come across any of them at this point. But, I mean, this is something that I think we needed to address and talk about. I've got clips tonight. There is a warning being put out here for children. There's no cursing in these clips that I believe that I edited it enough or took the parts where there wasn't any cursing in them. But some of the things that some of these guys say are probably, you know, if you have younger listeners, you probably wouldn't want them to hear. So, you know, just for the sake of that, if, you know, that's at your own discretion, but I'm just putting that warning out there. So, George, what about you, man? We're going to get into some angry street preachers here, and we use the term angry because, for me, sometimes that seems like the way that it comes across. I don't know how much interaction you may have had out on the streets with some of these guys.
Yeah, angry street preachers is just a symptom of an angry person, period. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're out there street preaching or they're in your work center calling themselves a Christian or you're just meeting them and you're talking to them one-on-one. You know, there's just the difference is that they're using the medium of opening up their mouths wide and, you know, allowing their voice to project what's already in the heart. So for me, you know, I've met more than one angry street preacher in my life, whether it's in open air in the street or in a professing Christian church. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get rolling with that because we do have a lot on the agenda. But we're going to start by this clip. I'm not trying to be funny, but I thought it fit for the show tonight. Here's a clip of a song from Lecrae about anger management.
Hey, what if, we all need anger management? Why don't we just treat this song like an anger management class, you feel me?
I'm angry.
And that was the clip from that song of anger management because, like I said, we're talking about angry street preaching today, any type of angry evangelism. Well, what I'm going to do is we've got some clips. We're going to play them throughout the show, not so much that we're going through each clip trying to dissect them, just to kind of give you, the listeners, maybe an understanding or an idea of what some of the things that we hear on the streets from some of these guys. It's a scary thing. I know my wife was shocked by some of these clips and some of the things that she heard. And so we're going to play this first one here. I'm going to give you a little bit of the context, and you can see these videos, and I can probably put them up or give you links to them in the G220 radio page, but if you'd like to see some of these. But this was at a college campus, and they were a large majority of Muslims there, and the guy that was doing the yelling and preaching, screaming in this, was tearing up a Quran at the time while he was doing this, was ripping pages out of the Quran, putting it in his mouth at the same time, saying some of the things that he said here. And so this is, we're just going to listen to this about a minute clip, and then we'll start some of our dialogue.
You wicked Muslim! Muhammad is in hell! Hell! He is burning up! In hell! Look at your book! Look at the lies! The lies! You are going to hell! You sick! Sick! Religion of hate! You sick! Sick! You will burn in hell! Look at this! Look at your holy book!
He's acting like a real Muslim!
Look at it!
That's a real Muslim!
It is hate! You kill! Fred! You kill Charlie! You murder! You bomb! You killed in Kenya! This is lies! Lies from Satan! Oh, you will burn in hell! You wicked, despicable Muslim!
Don't even give it an audience. Don't even
give it. No! You will get raped! You deserve it!
And that was a little short clip I wanted to throw in there from that same context where he's telling this girl, you will get raped and you deserve it. That, to me, is just, you know, it's one thing to speak the truth and to be bold speaking the truth, as we're going to get into here tonight, but to incite the crowd of Muslims that were there by ripping pages out of the Quran and sticking it in your mouth and spitting it out, and then just the way that his approach was just angry and I believe unbiblical.
Yeah, that's shock and awe, dude. You could hear it in his voice. The problem is, and this is the difficulty, is that I can't disagree with what he's saying when he talks about Muslims going to hell. I can't disagree with what he's saying when he's talking about how Islam is wicked. But the way in the presentation, this is obviously a pragmatic issue, and whether we like it or not, the way it's being presented is as if the person who is speaking has so much anger that there's absolutely no 100% concern for their soul whatsoever, and that the main thrust of the message is simply the justice of God, which is nothing wrong with that. However, there is no message of hope, no message of salvation, no mention of Christ, no mention of grace. And, you know, I've been out there, I've preached before, where the predominant message seemed to have turned into, we're talking about the law, we're talking about their condemnation before God. But I always try to at least consciously somewhat interject with the gospel in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, it's difficult when you're looking at these guys and you're thinking, good night, like, where is all this stuff coming from? But, you know, as we'll hopefully talk about, some of the theology is where it comes from, too.
Right. Absolutely. One of the things we wanted to get into first, because of there, when we see stuff like this, you and I are aware of this, when we see these kind of preachers, these guys that are out there that are unbiblical in their approaches, have some really bad theologies, which, as you said, we'll talk about some of that here in a little while. But one of the first criticisms that we get then, even from guys on the right side, is, well, maybe we shouldn't be out there preaching. Some people shouldn't be out there preaching. So I kind of wanted to briefly, you know, as briefly as we can, talk about who should be out there preaching. Can anybody go and preach? And, you know, just some of the things that we may look at in going out there to preach the gospel. We've done a show on it before. This would entail so much more, and we could get so deep into this, as I know you know that. But there's just some things that when we look at it, I would say that if the Lord is calling you to proclaim the gospel in the open air, then you feel led by the Lord to do that, then, you know, I would say do that. However, I would also say, you know, look for wisdom from friends, people that are close to you, in seeking some advice from them, because they may hear you and help you in your growth as a open-air preacher. I don't think that everybody has to open-air preach. I don't think that everybody is called to open-air preach. I do believe that everybody is commanded to share the gospel. So whether that's through open-air preaching or one-on-one conversations or handing out tracts, just dialoguing with friends, family, neighbors, whatever it may be, we're commanded to do that. George?
Yeah, no, same thing. I think it's important that we understand that our message is where our focal point needs to be. If we're going to distribute the gospel in any way, shape, or form, of course, if we're brand new Christians, if all we have to say is I was once was blind, was out of sea, then of course the Holy Spirit will lead us to say those kinds of things if we've been saved by the true gospel. It was out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So whether you're a true convert or a false convert evangelizing, what you've been saved by, the message, whatever message you proclaim to be saved by, the message just is going to come out of your mouth. So it's important that you understand the message of what you're saying more importantly than anything else. And then, of course, seeking counsel. And then, of course, obeying the Lord in all aspects of your life, as well as being a part of a local fellowship and, of course, an assembly if you're not an elder yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why it's important. I know that the reason I wanted to touch on that is because I wanted to kind of set the precedence of what, you know, we believe here. I don't believe that, you know, if you're called to preach that you necessarily have to have permission from your pastor. I do believe, though, that sometimes there's wisdom in, you know, that you want to have if you have this, excuse me, this desire. Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead and take
Maybe
over for a second.
Grass.
I need to get some water.
So, like, in the same vein of Ricky was talking about, more than likely we're probably in the same boat where we're talking about permission from pastoral authorities. You don't need to go up to your pastor and say, hey, can I go out there and street preach? There's nothing biblical about that. But there is wisdom if you feel like for whatever reason you want to be able to talk to your pastor and you're saying, hey, this is something I'm thinking about doing. But really the essence and the focus should be central on the authority that Christ has already given you. Now, if you're a Christian, you're a professing Christian, and you don't like to assemble with other believers, that's the deeper issue. Whether you're going to go out and open air preach or not, one of the biblical fruits of salvation is that you desire to be with other believers. If you don't want to be with other believers and yet you still want to preach, I would say there's a problem with your understanding of not just ecclesiology, but also your soteriology too, because I don't see how a professing believer could want to be in Christ, and yet they would deny the body.
Yeah. Sorry about that. My throat got dry there for a second. But
probably because of the grass that you hit when you jumped over the fence.
When I jumped over the fence. There we go. There we go. Yeah, no, and I agree with you, George, with what you were saying there, brother. Not about the grass, but, you know, what you were saying about that. Because it is important. I think, you know, there may be reasons why a elder or a pastor may say, you know, I don't think you should be doing that necessarily. You should share the gospel. But there may be some issues. You know, I remember belonging to a church. It was an independent fundamentalist Baptist church. When I first got saved, it was a church I grew up in, and I remember we was going to do some door knocking, and there was one guy that was in our Sunday school class, and we were, like, trying to get people together, and the pastor said, it's not a good idea to have him go with you guys knocking on doors. And, of course, I'm thinking, why not? We've got, you know, the more people, you know, the better to get the gospel out there. But this guy was a guy who wasn't a member of the church, but he was living with his girlfriend, wasn't, you know, married, just living with his girlfriend. So the pastor, using his wisdom, said, I don't think this guy should be out there knocking on doors sharing the gospel with people, you know, as part of our church. Mm-hmm. And so there's wisdom, because there may be some things going on in that person's life or whatever that the pastor may say, you know, I don't think, you know, that it would be wise, but we are all called to share the gospel. We understand that even as Christians who go out and preach, our lives are not perfect. We're not sinless. It's one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later, to the extent of, you know, that we will go out there but not living in hypocrisy, you know what I mean, where we're going out there to tell people about Christ and come to Christ while we're just in unrepentant sin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference. But there's some wisdom, and that's why I was saying that, you know, that along the same lines as, you know, what you were saying there. And we're going to go ahead, and we got a couple more clips here. We're going to play some more and then keep this thing rolling along.
You're a young boy. This guy, you can't save him. But you could be saved, both of you.
Oh, come on.
So you're so young.
You're an ungodly, wicked woman on your way to hell. You need to get saved. You're wicked.
You enjoy your life.
You give me one Bible verse. Quote me one Bible verse.
Jesus wept.
Really, where's that
at
found?
You.
Where's that found?
Because you didn't
where's
get the whole meaning of what
you
it was
to
about.
You need to go home and do the dishes. That's your job. Oh, you're a pig. Lesbian pig.
And, you know, in the beginning of that, you know, as you were saying, like when the message of telling those Muslims in the first couple clips that, you know, they're on their way to hell and that it is a false religion and things like that, we would agree. Where here, when he's telling her, you know, when he's talking to her in the beginning, there's things that may be truthful in some of these clips that we hear tonight. However, it's that method of approach and how you're relaying these things to people. And whether the person is a lesbian or not, it was Rosie O'Donnell that this man was speaking to. And whether she's a lesbian or not, to call someone, you know, a fat pig and say these kind of things to them, to say that she's a lesbian pig, I think you're adding offense to the gospel when the gospel is already offensive. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's already offensive, and so we don't need to add offense to that and operate out of our flesh, but just out of the grace God saved us, right?
Exactly. And you know what's funny is that, you know, I mean, name dropping is probably going to be a thing, but, I mean, there's people like this, like Kerrigan Skelly, Justin Morrell, Reuben Israel, and there's people out there that are characterized by this kind of speech, and you know it's just being offensive for being offensive sake, not for the gospel sake.
Right. Yeah, and this guy was one of the guys that actually was at the Kentucky Derby when we were there. We were at the Kentucky Derby with Sports Fan Outreach International, a ministry that you know well, and we were preaching the gospel. We were set up on the corner, and they came and just set up like a few, you know, maybe 20 feet away from us. Like it was not that far. And just started preaching as well. And it was kind of, it was like, man, now people think we're together here. And the message that they were saying to people, and this guy that was just in that clip was one of those men that was out there. you know, just listening to some of the things that they said, it was crazy. And actually, the police came over, and people actually said, you know, we hear what you're saying, and you are. They recognized the fact that we were not like those guys down there. Again, it wasn't that we weren't preaching against sin, because we mentioned sin. It wasn't that we weren't preaching boldly, because we've got some bold preachers that are out there. But our approach, we weren't name-calling. We weren't saying to people as they walked by with an earring in their ear, if they were a man, we weren't calling that out. Or if they had a ponytail or long hair, we weren't calling that out. You know what I mean?
As
these men were. And it's that wanting to agitate someone and offend them, as you mentioned earlier, shock and awe. Let me shock them and offend them and be hard on them. And ultimately, you know, and I've seen it. There was a clip that I was going to play, but I decided to take it out because I didn't want to have too many. They were at a basketball game, and the kid was going into the basketball game, and this guy is, like, telling him he's an idolater and a sinner because he's going to a basketball game. Like, as Christians, we can enjoy going to a game. Like, if I'm going to a game, it doesn't make me a wicked sinner. I'm not idolizing the Cleveland Cavaliers or whatever team you're from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to differentiate at times where they're coming from. I mean, obviously, that's, once again, it's theological. You're calling them idolaters because they're going to a basketball game for a reason. There's a lot there that obviously needs to be dug into as far as why do they feel that way, what's the point of preference that they have, that kind of thing. So it really does come down to where are you getting this stuff from, and why is your reaction toward this the way it is? I mean, granted, if it's sinful, everybody should have a passion against sin. I wish people would have more of a passion against sin in our prayer life and our own personal time than we would against other people, but that's another topic whatsoever.
Sure.
At the same time, when we're out there preaching, you're right. You're going to go out there and you're going to say something. And when these guys are out there, this is the catch-22. They not only spurn or seemingly give the lost an excuse to blaspheme, but when you're out there preaching too, it's like they know the difference. They hear the difference. And Lord willing, that when hearing the difference, they'll come to Christ, and not because they're just siding with you, but that they actually understand the message. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely. Here's this man again, I haven't said the names because, not that I'm fearful of the name drop. It's just I put them in the clips and stuff. But, that first one that we played was from an event where Reuben Israel was out at. And some of these guys, you're going to run into a lot of these people. One other thing I want to point out is, unfortunately, there are a lot of guys who feel like they want to share the gospel and they want to preach. They feel it strong, like, I want to preach the gospel to people. And so they look online for preachers on the streets. And unfortunately, these are the guys that have all the videos that just flood YouTube and flood whatever other, media. They're just, I guess, YouTube or whatever other, media site or whatever. They flood that with all their videos of them out there preaching. I don't personally have a problem with recording videos of yourself. We like to do it every once in a while and use it as encouragement to other people. And there can be some wisdom in recording things for your own personal safety in case someone accuses you of something you didn't do. There can be some wisdom in that. But a lot of these guys, they just record everything when they're out there and they put it up. And so some young guy or some new person that wants to get involved in street evangelism, wants to preach the gospel, because there's really evangelism is evangelism, but I mean in the context of what we're talking about, open air preaching, and they see these guys. And so they start to emulate these guys, or they get connected with these guys and they get led astray, and some of them, maybe they're not truly believers, but some of them may be, and they're just being led astray, and hopefully, they'll come away from that.
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
All right, so here's another one of these clips from this guy. His name's James Lyman, and this is where he instigates a woman, and it's about a minute clip.
We know America's going to hell when a woman's running for office, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, ma'am. Oh, look at this. You don't like this, do you? Well, you know what? You're a rebellious woman. You know that? The Bible says a Christian woman, a woman of character, is meek and quiet. And the Bible says a woman that's like a prostitute opens her mouth a lot. You know that? So go ahead, let me hear what you have to say. Wait a minute, wait a minute. A woman was quiet for 15 seconds right here. Call the New York Times. We got a female that didn't open her mouth for 15 seconds. Call the New York Times. She's still quiet. We got a female that hasn't opened her mouth now for 30 seconds. Let's call ABC. Call CBS. Call NBC. Listen, we've got a woman that's been quiet for almost one whole minute, but I knew she had to break it. I knew she had to break it. Another loudmouth woman on her way to hell, ma'am.
So, I mean, instigating
oh,
the woman.
Man.
I was watching the
That's
video. The lady standing there.
Night.
Yeah, the lady was standing there just watching, just looking on. Now, to say, I mean, when you watch the video, she turns out to be a Catholic woman. So, you know, she definitely needs to get her theology right in line with the biblical understanding of Christ. But she was just listening. If I've got someone standing there listening to me and I'm converting or conversating with them, I'm going to go into explaining the gospel, and I'm not going to instigate her and say those things to try to get her riled up. When the woman's just paying attention, she's just standing there watching. You had a perfect opportunity to start sharing the gospel instead of all that stuff that he said, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, there's a – just by listening to the guy, you're like, wow, what relevance does this have in the message whatsoever? So what? You just look at it, you're actually appalled and shocked. But, I mean, these guys, when they go out there and they talk about this, it just shows that their theology is that shallow, that they have nothing else that they can say that's more glorious. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Here's one more where they're dealing, I think, at a pride festival or with some homosexuals, you know, and these are some of the things he says. Again, preach the gospel. That's all you got to do is preach the gospel. It will be offensive to people. I mean, we go out,
mm-hmm.
people get offended from the preaching of the gospel. You don't have to say certain things to people to get them riled up. Here we go again with another clip.
And go to heaven. That's what you say, so? Come on, a guy who's wearing women's jewelry? Come on, you borrow jewelry from your mama's jewelry box? You're more effeminate than my sister. Bible says, except ye repent. Better be willing to turn from your sin. You want to know why most homos are homos? They're too ugly to get a woman. And he just proved my point. That's why most lesbians are lesbians. They're too ugly to get a man, folks. That's the truth, folks. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus,
when you stand before him, when you stand before him, are you supposed to show up for stupidity or drug addiction? Come on. You women need to go.
All right, so the reason I played that clip, while he did mention Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, before that he tells, you know, these homosexuals that the reason why gay men are gay men is because they're too ugly to get a woman. I mean, what relevance does that have to the gospel? Actually, the reason that they are the way they are is because of their sin nature. We're all sinners.
Yeah, you know what? The preacher himself, obviously, if he is a Pelagian, he obviously doesn't believe he has that same sin nature. So his empathy and sympathy and compassion. You know what? Even saying that, the first thing that just came to my mind is that the only person in this world that has a right to be as angry as he is against sin is God. He does. He has the only right to say as condemningly and as harshly as he can, and he has in the Old Testament and in the New, as harshly as he can to condemn sin as much as he'd like. What I find really interesting, though, is that there's this wonderful paradox, this in-between area where, you know, it's kind of hard to balance because obviously he's God, he's far more complex than we are, but yet he's just in all that he does. This perfect being whom stood in the boat with Peter, whom Peter cried out, Lord, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. This same being who never denied his sinlessness, was still yet compassionate and merciful. And we have these guys who are Pelagian, who says they're sinless and they're perfect, yet they never act the way Christ acts. It's amazing to see that. It's the complete hypocrisy in their theology. It's sick.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, before we get into some of those heresies, you know, we've mentioned a few times, and you just talked about Pelagianism, sinless perfectionist. But let's talk about some of the way that some of these guys dress when they go out on the streets. Now, you know, I met one of my brothers who we go out on the streets, and he is a faithful brother. I would go to war with this guy. I mean, this is a brother that I trust out on the streets. I love this guy. He has such a compassion for people. But when I first met him online, I thought he was in the group of these types of Pelagians because he was wearing bright shirts with some Christian, you know, Christian shirts or with a message on them. And then I got to know him, and he doesn't necessarily wear those anymore. You know, that is one of the things that when you see these guys and you see the bright shirts with the big block letters, the big, huge signs, you know, with lots of things on them. Sometimes it's truthful messages, honestly. Sometimes some of it is repent or perish, and you know, which is it's true. But the way that it's written and the way that it's displayed, and then the things that they wear. I've seen people wearing sunglasses. We got a brother, Michael Carell, said that he doesn't, whenever anybody wants to come and preach with them on the streets, he doesn't allow them to wear sunglasses because it's a little intimidating. And I watched some of these videos when I was trying to get these clips for the show tonight where people were wearing sunglasses, and they had gloves on and their hands folded, and it looked like, you know, Secret Service around the preacher. You know, like you did not want to get close to these guys and really even interact. They looked like they wanted to fight. They looked militant. And that's even one of the groups that I found on there was militant street preachers or something like that. You know, it's like militant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts
on
that?
It's interesting, man. It's difficult because signs are not unbiblical. No. Sometimes, you know, you could post a Bible verse and it's not unbiblical. It's from the Bible.
Sure.
The question is why that verse, or, you know, what's the reason why you're posting that? Why is the reason why you have that advertisement up there? Why are you wearing the shirts that you're wearing? You know, and unfortunately, the clothes do kind of mark you out as standing out in the environment. But because the clothes have become so attached to a specific group, it makes you wonder, okay, are you one of those or are you not? If you're not, okay, what's the motivation you have? Is it just to become, you know, I don't know, the center of attention, or do you purposefully like offending people with the most offensive Bible verses? Because there are some, it's not a big deal, but is your purpose to pick those verses simply because you want to get people's attention? You're trying to rile people up for whatever reason. It's difficult because I know people who do have these signs. I know people who, some of them have better looking signs, I think, that can be just as offensive, like saying, you know, atheists don't exist. That's not a Bible verse, but it's meant to stir up a conversation and sometimes controversy in the midst of the conversation. And that's not necessarily wrong either if you're trying to get to a point really, really fast. The message, though, it's the content. Where are you going with this? Is there somewhere in which you're trying to lead others to the cross? Is there a point in this in which you're trying to display the grace, display the greatness of Christ in somehow in this message some way? And that can be difficult because some people may not see the effect in that. They might not see that it's fruitful. I mean, me and you have heard the same things, and we're actually preaching the gospel.
Right.
So it's really difficult sometimes when you see some of these guys together, you're like, okay, what are you going to say this time? Because if it's not, you know, if you're just trying to attract attention to yourself and you're just trying to touch on things that are completely irrelevant, it'll be made apparent pretty fast. So for me, signs, not my favorite. You know, certain kinds of color sweaters, not my favorite. The way you display yourself in the beginning, you know, if that's how you want to dress, that's fine. But I try to remain as objective as I can and try to hear what they're trying to say. And hopefully I can differentiate enough to know, okay, I know which flavor of theology you ascribe to. Unfortunately, everybody has that kind of discernment.
Yeah. And I mean, we use signs. We go to, we got a college evangelism tour coming up in October. And when we went last year, we took signs out there with us. Again, we want to grab people's attention. We had a thing like evolution is a lie. We want people, mm-hmm. you know, to come up and engage with us and have a conversation with us. And so, again, it's not that the sign is the problem. It's when you see a lot of these things together, and then you see the megaphone, you know, the bullhorn, that's another thing. Like when I was trying to decide what I wanted to get because they were cheaper, you know, I was just like, I don't really want that because – when I see that, now I know good brothers who use it. I mean, I'm not saying that the megaphone in and of itself is sinful, you know, but it just has this negative connotation to it because you think these Pelagian guys or these angry street preachers, you know, that are out there. And I know it's just a piece of equipment that we use, but, you know, it was just like, man, because those are some of the things that you see with these guys. And, it, again, it's the big signs. Again, not that signs are necessarily evil. It's just you see some of these things, the bright clothes. It's like they all get it from the same places, too, because a lot of them you see guys out in California wearing these things, guys over here in this area, you know, and then at the Kentucky Derby and probably some of the other events that are out going on out there. You see these kind of things. And, again, it doesn't necessarily mean the clothes make the person, you know, unbiblical or anything like that. It's just they seem to group together. Most of these people that know each other, they look the same part. You know, they dress the same kind of ways, wearing the same. That's kind of where I was going, I guess, with that.
The really thing, the point is this, is that most things in the world are dynamic. And what that means in a linguistic sense is that there's normally no more than one ingredient that comes together to make something meaningful or to understand an idea or a concept. So when we see somebody out there, we see the bright colored sweater, first wonder, okay, is this one of those groups? Don't know, not sure. And then you see the big bright signs, most offensive Bible verse. Okay, got it. Still may not be that group of Pelagians, but I'll give them an ear. You go up to them, you talk to them. They have the big bullhorn. You can't talk to them because they're shouting over you. Okay, all right. Still may not be a Pelagian or a false teacher or heretic, but still going to give them a light of day. Why? Because I'm looking for the message. I see all the ingredients are there, but I'm still holding off. I want to see if there's something there. Now I hear him preach. And as I'm listening to him preach, if I hear offensive language that is meant to stir up about the individual, pointing out a person, their physical inconsistencies, just making fun of them for no reason by being offensive without actually preaching the cross of Christ or the gospel or leading people to an understanding of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come to the degree that you're calling out for repentance and you're preaching the good news, then I'm going to be like, okay, well, all the ingredients are there. I kind of expected this, so the message is basically implicit by the way all the ingredients fell into place. I would be shocked if all the ingredients were there and the message is sound. It's completely gospel-centered, completely Christ-centered. The only thing I would say is I don't prefer what you're doing, how you dress, or what your signs are, but God bless you that you're a believer.
Right. You know, and that's the thing, that being someone who goes out and preaches on the streets, you don't see very many other people doing it. So as a believer who does do it, you know, and as a believer who I'm encouraged when I do run into other brothers that are out there actually preaching, that's what I would do, is I would do the same thing. I would stand and listen and want to hear the message. And if they were preaching a biblical message, I'd be like, praise the Lord, brother. And I would encourage them, you know.
Yep.
Me and my wife was actually talking about this before the show, where, because some of these clips, again, she's heard some of these and was just like, I'm just, you know, it's amazing that people would say stuff like that. And we were talking. I said, you know, I bet you being a Christian, knowing she's a Christian woman, loves the Lord, comes out and shares the gospel with us on the streets, hands out tracts, you know, and goes out to the abortion center and does these things. I bet you if she was standing there, we were talking. I said, if you were standing there listening to them, I guarantee they would single you out and start saying stuff to you, mean, not even knowing, you know, kind of like what they did with the one woman, just standing there, you know, instead of just preaching and continuing to preach. Like, I get people that stand and they're listening. I don't necessarily always try to engage them then. I just keep preaching the gospel while other people may be listening, and I preach the gospel. And then when I'm done, I'll say, if anybody wants to talk about anything that I said, you know, I'm more than willing to talk to you. You know, or if there's not a crowd of people and it's just that one person standing there, I may then just engage them from where I'm at on the box, you know, but in a respectful, gracious way. I'm not going to, you know, chop them down. Even if they believe a false theology, I would graciously just point them to the truth, you know.
And you know what's funny is that, you know, we're not trying to say, at least on this show, we're not trying to say that maybe even some kind of provocative speech will not be merited, or even some sarcasm, or even in the fact that somebody's saying something foolish and it shouldn't be called out as foolish. the important thing is that we're trying to keep Christ the central matter at all costs. Everything else is just decorative. We're trying to keep Christ the root and the tree at the pinnacle of what we're trying to say. So there's going to be times where we're going to say things that are offensive, or we're going to bring up subjects and controversies that, you know, in this world are something you shouldn't talk about. But these guys, these angry street preachers, are from a depth of theology or practice in which they feel like these controversies or these attitudes is what stirs up the loss to repentance or whatever the theology says, that they can justify themselves before the lost. And there's a lot more to it there, but their message is completely contrary to the biblical gospel in so many different ways. I wish we can get all to it, but when you listen to these guys talk, there's just a main ingredient missing. And normally, it's the graciousness, the kindness, the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Normally, it's the cross of Christ dying to save wicked sinners like us. Normally, it's original sin. Normally, it's God's all-knowing nature. Knowing it's sovereignty. There's so many things that are missing from their message. It's not just one particular thing. There's just an abundance of things. And you're thinking to yourself, why are you even out here? How did you even get saved by your own theology if that's all it took was for you to just stop sinning? It's amazing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree, because there's times in the past where I've thrown something back at someone if somebody's walking by and they say something spitefully and I shoot something back at them, you know, to grab their attention. I remember, again, going back to the College Evangelism Tour last year, one of the kids came up and he walked by and he said something and I called him out on it. And,
yep.
You know, and I called him out on it. I just, you know, and he, it wasn't my intention to make him look foolish, but he ended up looking foolish. But you know what that kid did? He come over and he's like, that's a good one. Because he was like, you got me, right? But it wasn't that I was trying to do it out of, you know, an ungracious or ungenuine heart. It was, hey, look, no,
yep.
that's a foolish position that you're holding. I don't think anything's wrong with saying, well, that's foolish. I mean, I say many times, only a fool says in his heart there's no God. And to believe mm-hmm. that is foolishness. To not believe in God, you know, and I may say biblical words. I may talk about homosexuality. I may talk about fornication and adultery and sins, and I may call them out and use biblical terminology when doing it, you know. But one of the things that I think differentiates us from what we're talking about tonight, and not in a way of putting us up on a pedestal or anything like that, because I'm sure somebody could critique some of the things we do, and we'd be willing, I think, to listen when a brother comes and says, hey, you know, I'm a little concerned by the way you do this. We'd be willing to listen to that. Many of these guys
yep.
have had people come to them and say they're concerned, and they don't want to listen. They blow it off.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and
their idea of preaching is so far from the biblical gospel, so it's kind of hard for them to receive anything anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's we're going to play a couple more clips. I'm going to play these three in a row. They're really short. And so this was at an Andy Mineo concert. People were getting lined up to go inside. It looked like a little small venue for Andy Mineo, which I played Lecrae in the beginning. Again, that don't take that as an endorsement of these guys. Used to listen to these guys. I don't anymore. So don't send me any email at G220Radio.
Now you're just opening up another can of worms here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's G220Radio@gmail.com. Send all your questions and put attention, George Alvarado.
Man, don't do that.
But no, these were people lined up to go to this concert, and I was listening to these guys, and I'm like, man. I mean, now, granted, there's probably people in that line that are not truly Christians. I get that. You know, Andy Mineo was coming here to Cleveland, and if I wouldn't have had to work and other things going on, I would have went down there and preached the gospel outside of it too. Why? Not just so much because it was Andy Mineo singing or, you know, rapping and having a concert, but there was people standing in a line and there would have been a lot more people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in crowds, there's not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. So you preach to them. But some of the things these guys, the way these guys address people, this was like one of the worst groups of people that I came across trying to put some of these videos together and or these clips together. So here, we'll listen to the three of these, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about it.
What, you're looking at this crowd? All the whores, the bag enablers, and the absolutely worthless excuses.
Why are you angry?
No,
why aren't you angry?
Okay, so
why aren't you angry? Why aren't you angry? You're a pathetic Christian.
chance. You're pathetic.
I'm marching through that city. No, no, first off, you shut your mouth, sinner, and listen up. A man of God is speaking into your life, and you can care less. You got coffee to drink, concerts to go to, and all you care about is my anger. Where's your anger? Shame on you, Dad. Shame on you. I'm not touching your head. You're probably a masturbator. Shame on you. That's right. Continue on to hell. These people don't care about your soul. They're not going to tell you what God says. They're going to feed your flesh. You gluttonous pig. That's what you want. You want to feed your flesh. That's all you care about is the carnal thing. You don't understand spiritual wisdom because you're carnally minded. Shame on you. Wicked for first generation.
That's rough, man.
If I could say something real quick before I lose this train of thought, man.
Yeah.
I know you want to say something. Good night.
No, go ahead.
If you're a Christian and you're out here listening to this, man, you need to stand up and say something when you hear one of these people. Even if you're the meekest person in the world, you need to go in that crowd and you need to confront people and say, hey, what do you think about what he's saying? Let me tell you about the real gospel. And just go for it, man. Take that opportunity. Don't lose it, because these people really are just devastatingly lost.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. The way that, and there was another clip. I had four of them from that Andy Mineo concert, and it was about 450 minutes, but I didn't play that one just for the sake of time. But it was unbelievable when I was going through this. I was like, man, I've got a headache listening to these guys. You know, they were so angry. They were so angry. You know, he tells that one guy to shut your mouth, you know, like, I'm speaking, a man of God is speaking to you. No, you're not a man of God. You need to repent. That's just wickedness.
Yeah.
Wickedness to treat people that way. You know, and it's a sad thing. Let's just move on. We're going to talk about some of the bad theology that some of these guys have. Some of it's been mentioned already tonight. We talked about Pelagianism. You know, it's this belief that we're born good, that we have this ability, that we're born without original sin. It's a heresy. It's heresy. And you're going to find many of these guys out there that are Pelagians. Another one is the sinless perfectionism. Again, these are people that believe that once you become a Christian, you no longer sin. And then sometimes you may catch them. They'll talk about different type of, well, that's this kind of sin or this kind of sin, to try to put categories on it to say, well, you can do this, but not these kind of sins. You know, that's no different really than the Catholic Church. You know what I mean? Then we have oneness theology, which those guys in that clips that I just played was one of the names mentioned. I don't know if you remember a video where my name was mentioned in, and I said, these guys are talking about me, and I posted a video of some guy that was talking about me, and that guy denied the Trinity. And one of the things that I've noticed with these groups of people that fit this mold is they don't seem to call out the other heretics among them. Like, if you deny the Trinity, they don't say nothing. As long as you're another brother out there preaching. You're a sinless perfectionist, they don't say nothing. You deny original sin, you're a Pelagian, they don't say nothing about that. You're an open theist, they don't say anything. They just, hey, we're all one big group of brothers. They don't call it out and confront it.
Well, because the enemy of their enemy is our enemy. That's the saying. We're basically, we're going to have to band together because, I mean, we're surrounded by hyper-grace, you know, hyper-Calvinists and decisionalist, you know, regenerate salvationists. I mean, you just name it. Everything is outside of what their camp is. So, of course, they're going to probably try to protect their own.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a scary thing because – You're out there preaching, quote-unquote, preaching to get souls saved, and because they actually have the ability to get saved. They just need to stop sinning and humble themselves. We actually saw tracks like that from those guys at the Kentucky Derby. Humble yourself.
Nice.
Stop sinning. Then God will save you. It doesn't work that way. These are some of the things that, you know, they have these bad theologies. And as we mentioned a little bit in the beginning, there's no desire to belong to a church for many of these people. They're without a church.
Sad.
They're without guidance. They're without, wisdom from elders and people to help them grow and learn and keep them from the errors that are out there, they
yep.
become a church unto themselves. You know,
and unfortunately,
so,
we're going to have to deal with this. I mean, we deal with enough stereotypes in the world, like calling us Westboro Baptists. When we go out and preach, people think that's what we are. And then when we listen to these guys, we're like, good night. How can they compare us to them? But that's the way of the world. So we're going to have to be prepared to be so distinct in our message that people know the difference once they hear it. They just
right.
don't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I've got one more clip I want to play. And it's about a 4-minute clip, but it's one that another brother sent me. And I thought it was really good because this is something that I've heard, that I've experienced, not from this guy particularly, but from other guys like this out on the streets. It sounds like they're happy people are going to hell when they talk about it. It sounds like they're happy or they enjoy it. And so this clip, you know, like I said, is about 4 minutes, so bear with us, and we'll get through this one, and then we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll wrap it up.
Look, go ahead, look up Revelation 21, verse 8. You're right there. Murderers shall have their place in the lake that burns with fire. Right there, worker of iniquity, working up iniquity. The Bible says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. He doesn't just hate the shedding of innocent blood, He hates the very hands that do it. He hates the very hands that do it. Shame on you, wicked worker of iniquity. You're in big trouble with God. Thank you. I know I'm your number one preacher. Thank you for making me your number one preacher. You are going to burn in hell. You're going to burn, 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 burn in hell. You're going to burn, burn, burn in hell. You better repent. You better repent, woman! Wicked! 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 Burn, burn, burn! You're gonna burn, burn, burn in hell! Burn, burn, burn! You're going to burn, burn in hell. You'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. God will have you bound up hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire, the lake that burns with fire, the hell that you deserve. You're going to get one day after a while. You're going to get hell to pay. You have hell to pay. On that day called Judgment Day, you workers of iniquity, you workers of iniquity. You don't know nothing about God. Proverbs chapter 6 says God hates your hands. God hates your hands. God hates you. God hates you. You are on God's hatred list today. You are in big trouble with God. God hates you. 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 I'm here to judge you today. I'm here to judge you. I'm here to judge you. I'm here to judge you. That's right. I'm here to judge you. That's my name. My name is Judge Marvin. I'm here to judge you today. That's so. My name is Judge Marvin. Judge Marvin. Judge Marvin.
All right, I'm going to turn it off a little bit earlier. Actually, there was little cursing in there. I caught it this time. Sorry about that. If you did catch it, apologize.
Dude, I was going to say, is that 4 minutes? Good night. That my heart was, like, beating, okay?
you have my
blood pressure going, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's some of the sentiment that – or some of the things that I've heard from people, you know, especially when we was at the Derby. I'm like, man, those guys sound like they're actually happy that people are going to hell. Like they're calling people out, and it's like they're happy about it. It's unbelievable.
Probably
this
are.
Guy, you know, he's talking about burn, like singing a song, like it's you know, I mean, we should be weeping over these souls, you know, we should be brokenhearted over the people that stay in their rebellion against God when we preach the gospel. When we go out and preach, it's a draining thing. When we go to the abortion
yeah.
center, this was at an abortion center, and so when we go to an abortuary, a place, you know, where they're slaughtering babies, That is one of the hardest places for me to go. I am drained when I go there. My heart is broken. You know, there's times I've left where I've actually wept. Not just over the babies that were shed or that died that day, that were murdered, but over the death escorts and the people that work there. Many of them will come out and say they are a Christian. That breaks my heart to see that. You know, obviously they're not, and they're deceived. And, you know, we preach to them. One time, my pastor was preaching to the death escorts, and one of the guys that had been going out there over and over and over again, he was an independent fundamentalist guy, he said, "Their hearts are too hard. Don't preach the gospel to them." And we're like, what?
Really?
Like,
how do you know that?
Yeah, that's who breaks the hard heart? God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God that breaks the hard heart through what? The preaching of the gospel. You know, not just yelling stuff out like this. Preach the gospel, you know. Preach the gospel.
I can say one thing, and this is not to be super spiritual in case anybody who's listening hears this. The most times I've ever wept after coming back from preaching mostly is because I cannot believe of my serious inability to be able to convince people of the gospel. I've gave up my heart. I've poured out my heart. I desperately pled sometimes with sinners. And my heart's broken, sure, for their salvation. But I think to myself, how could I even come out here and preach so many times and yet at times not live up to what I'm preaching? At times looking up toward heaven, asking God, why are you choosing someone like me who is sinful, who cannot completely and utterly display as much as I would love to the wondrous of your gospel? I feel my utter inability more often than not when I'm out there preaching the gospel after it's all said and done. And that causes me to break down because I can't see in my own ability that any reason why God would use me. I can't. I don't see any reason. And that's part of the grace of being able to share the gospel with others, whether you're an open-air preacher or not. If you're a Christian, you share the gospel. You need to be able to feel your inability and the great privilege of what it is for God to be able to say to someone like you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, because I gave you the authority to, because I've saved you. I mean, good night. And then when you hear guys like this, it angers me because there's no grace. That whatever God that they're praying to, whatever God that they're saying save them, is not the God of the Bible to the degree that they understand their own inability, their own sinfulness, because it wouldn't come out the way it's coming out if that was the case.
Right.
I couldn't pat myself on the back almost every time I go out and preach because I've seen my failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the key things I think we miss when we're preaching the gospel. So
yeah.
I completely sympathize with you, bro.
Yeah, and with you bringing that up, it brings up another point that I think we didn't really touch on is I think pride is something that a lot of these men have. I look at – you're in the military right now. I was in the military. Let me tell you, I was a sergeant in the military, and I remember seeing guys that – you know, we used to talk about it in the military. And I'm just going to be upfront. There was guys that we would say, man, this guy must have never been popular in school, never, you know, really been one of the cool kids or whatever, and got stripes, and it just went to their head. Like, it went to their head. And so, you know, we would see that, and we'd be like, man, this guy's out of control, you know, as an NCO. Mm-hmm. Like, he's never had this position of authority, and he likes it, and now he's abusing it. And I don't honestly, and I'm saying this, I don't think some of these people have the position of authority from God because I don't think many of them are regenerate. I think some of them are unregenerate. Now, there may be some in there that are that need to come out of it, you know, but I don't think they're regenerate, some of these guys. And so, therefore, they don't really have the authority from Christ, but they get up there, they get in a group with other guys. Many of them then become the guy that they look to lead them and the main mover of this movement of shock and awe or whatever. And they just follow them around and follow along, and they love that, getting out there and yelling at people and putting people in their place. I don't go to preach the gospel to put people in their place.
Mm.
I don't go there to say to people, you deserve. Guess what? We all deserve to go to hell. But by the
mm-hmm.
grace of God, there go us. So we preach the gospel to these
mm-hmm.
people so that they can get saved as well, so that we preach. I mean, we're Calvinists, obviously, here at G220 Radio, but we preach to everybody. We don't know who's elect. That's not even on our mind when we're out there preaching the gospel. Like, oh, I wonder if this guy's elect. I got to go talk to him. He might be. Let me go talk. We don't do that. We just preach to everyone
mm-hmm.
that's out there because we want to see people saved. It's not – we don't go out there looking like who can we bash over the head. I even heard in one of the clips that I didn't play it, and I might have deleted it or it might have been one that I didn't play, but where they talked about we're out here to thump you with the Bible or bash you with the Bible or something like that. You don't – why do you talk like that? You know what I mean? It's not our
mm-hmm.
position to go out there and bust people over the head with the Bible. We just preach what the Bible says. You know, I've had guys – one of my brothers, Brad – who has been out on the streets with us, and he's kind of getting into some open-air preaching, but most of the time he gets on a box and just reads Scripture, and people get offended with him. We was at the Ohio State game, people giving him the finger or getting mad at him, and all he's doing is reading from the Gospel of John. That was it. See, people are going to get offended by God's
huh?
word. Yeah, people get offended by God's word. We don't have to add offense to it. And if you're doing that, If you're following this movement or you wanted to get into open-air preaching and this is what you come across and you've kind of been following that, come out of that. Come out of
yes.
that. You can send us a mm-hmm. message here at G220 Radio. We'll try to hook you up with good brothers wherever you are or people that may help you or disciple you or send you to some good videos or if there's some out there. But, I mean, something to – we'll do our best to try to help you and disciple you. Not that we have all the answers. We don't – that would be prideful to think that we've got all the answers because we grow in as we, you know, evangelized years and after years, we grow as well. And we learn from other guys. We learn from new guys. You know, I learn from some
yep.
guys that are, you know, been doing it less than I have, you know, just because there's no pride in it. We're out there to glorify God. You know, so if you're in
yep.
this, come out of it. Come out of it. You know, repent and
yep.
come out of that. So.
Yeah, I wish we had a clip for that we could play for our listeners who maybe have never heard these angry preachers, at least a good, what it sounds like to be a gracious, solid, biblical, open-air preacher. But there's so many out there. Don't let these guys discourage you. It's not like they're everywhere. They're a really small part of the population when it comes to the open-air community or people who like to preach in the open-air, should I say, or just in Christianity in general. We have a far greater opposition for those who are within our midst, who are preaching false gospels in churches, who are, you know, in big mega churches, who are on TV. They're our greater opposition. These guys, even though they're out there on the streets, I would say that in comparison to the fight that we have against false teaching and all kinds of other things, these guys are just a small, very, very small part. They're still a part, but they're still a small part of that population. So I wouldn't feel like, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. They really aren't. I mean, they know how to go to these main events, and they seem to turn up everywhere we go when we're preaching, coincidentally. But when you in respect to the kind of heresies that are all thrown out there, these guys really aren't doing much.
Right. Absolutely. And to add a little bit of lightheartedness to the show, like I did trying to do in the beginning with playing some anger management from Lecrae, I want to play this little snippet of a song from Bizzle. You ain't getting no hate.
Tell me you can hate me, but you ain't getting no hate back.
No hate back.
You get no hate back. Tell me you can hate me, but you ain't getting
no hate
back. Cause all the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
Hater, 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 hater.
All the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
Hater, 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 hater.
All the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
Hater, 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 hater.
All the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
Hater, 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 hater.
Yeah, all the hating in the world won't make me a hater. So when we're out there preaching on the streets, you know, and people hate the message or they hate, you know, what we're doing out there. I mean, we were just out at the event that they were raising money for abortion here at the local preterm, and we were preaching, and people were walking by, and I'm like, you're not mad at me. You're mad at God. You know, it breaks my heart that you're in rebellion against God, but I'm not hurt that you call me names. You know, and that again goes into the fact that I think there's a lot of pride in this movement of these kind of angry street preachers. They get offended by people who say things about them, and they retaliate, or they in return give stuff back rather than, hey, say what you want about me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned with what you say about me. I'm concerned with whether or not you come to Christ. And we,
Amen.
You know, that's it. So anyways, brother, I'll give you the last word if you got one, and then we'll wrap it up. Or unless you want to pray. You want to pray? I think we should pray. You want to pray for...
Yeah, definitely. That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You want me to pray first and you second, or you just want to pray?
No, I'll just let you pray, man, and then we'll close it up.
Okay. Father, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for giving us grace, for blessing us with your salvation, and introducing yourself to us, taking us out of darkness into light. God, the compassion that you shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that we would be able to demonstrate that toward the world, and that we would be faithful ambassadors for you. Help us to feel our own inability and the privilege to be loved by you, to demonstrate that by preaching to others the glorious gospel that we've so come to love and were saved by. We pray for these preachers, the people out there who hear them. God, that you would send preachers in the midst to be able to deliver a true gospel, despite what the lost world and what these preachers are hearing. We pray for revival. We pray, God, that we would be able to see the things that we read about in books and history, that we would get to see people come to the knowledge of salvation, knowing you, for that is eternal life. We pray, Lord, that these things would come to pass in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And that's been G220 Radio for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope it was helpful. Until next week, God bless.
If you have any questions about G220 Radio or would like to leave a comment, you can contact us at g220radio@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback. Also, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.